to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services website, and this is what it takes to become a citizen of these United States. If you meet certain requirements, you may become a U.S. citizen either at birth, which in my case was at birth, or after birth. To become a citizen at birth, you must, one, have been born in the United States or certain territories or outlying possessions of the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, or, two, had a parent or parents who were citizens at the time of your birth, if you were born abroad, and the other requirements. To become a citizen after birth, you must, one, apply for derived or acquired citizenship through parents. Number two, apply for naturalization. Now, the naturalization test, most naturalization applicants are required to take a test on English and civics, U.S. history and government. And, of course, on the page that has all this information up here in the corner in blue with a line underneath, it says Espanol. So if you don't read English, you can click on it, and it'll translate it into another language. But naturalization applicants are required to take a test on English and civics, U.S. history and government. Of course, I remember the 11th grade civics class, government class that I had at Selma High School. Citizenship for military members and dependents. Members and veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces and their dependents may be eligible for special naturalization provisions. And it tells you where you can go to get that information. Dual citizenship. For information on dual citizenship, go here, and I did, and this is what it says about dual citizenship. Section 101A.22 of the Immigration and Nationality Act states that the term national of the United States means A, a citizen of the United States, or B, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. Therefore, U.S. citizens are also U.S. nationals. Non-citizen nationality status refers to only individuals who were born either in American Samoa or on Swains Island to parents who are not citizens of the United States. The concept of dual nationality means that a person is a national of two countries at the same time, and that is possible. Each country has its own nationality laws based on its own policy. Persons may have dual nationality by automatic operation of different laws rather than by choice. For example, a child born in a foreign country to U.S. national parents may be both a U.S. national and a national of the country of birth. Or an individual having one nationality at birth may naturalize at a later date in another country and become a dual citizen, a dual national. U.S. law does not mention dual nationality or require a person to choose one nationality or another. A U.S. citizen may naturalize in a foreign state without any risk to his or her U.S. citizenship. However, persons who acquire a foreign nationality after age 18 by applying for it may relinquish their U.S. nationality if they wish to do so. In order to relinquish U.S. nationality by virtue of the naturalization as a citizen of a foreign state, the law requires that the person must apply for the foreign nationality voluntarily and with the intention to relinquish U.S. nationality. Intent may be shown by the person's statements and conduct. Dual nationals owe allegiance to both the United States and the foreign country. They are required to obey the laws of both countries and either country. It is important to note the problems attendant to dual nationality. Claims of other countries upon U.S. dual nationals often place them in situations where their obligations to one country are in conflict with the laws of the other. In addition, their dual nationality may hamper efforts of the U.S. government to provide consular protection to them when they are abroad, especially when they are in the country of their second nationality. U.S. nationals, including dual nationals, must use a U.S. passport to enter and leave the United States. Dual nationals may also be required by a foreign country to use its passport to enter and leave that country. Use of the foreign passport to travel to or from a country other than the United States is not inconsistent with U.S. law. And lastly, on the U.S. citizen and citizenship and immigration services website, the page on U.S. citizenship, the value of citizenship. The United States has a long history of welcoming immigrants from all parts of the world. America values the contributions of immigrants who continue to enrich this country and preserve its legacy as a land of freedom and opportunity. Deciding to become a U.S. citizen is one of the most important decisions in an individual's life. If you decide to apply to become a U.S. citizen, you will be showing your commitment to the United States and your loyalty to its Constitution. In return, you are rewarded with all the rights and privileges that are part of U.S. citizenship. And all of us, I'm assuming all of us, are citizens of the United States of America. The Apostle Paul, one of those individuals who would fall in the dual citizenship category. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Verse 37. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" So his commander thinks Paul's an Egyptian. Paul has no citizenship privileges of Egypt. But Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia." Now, Tarsus had been made the capital of the Roman province of Cilicia. And in, I think it was 67 AD, the Emperor Pompey made Tarsus that city. "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen," Paul is a citizen, "Tarsus, of no mean city." It wasn't a small city. It was a very, very important city. "And I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today." Not only was Paul a citizen of Tarsus because he was born there, he was born there. Paul was also a citizen of Israel. Now, how did one become a citizen of Israel? Was it by birth? If you were born within the boundaries of Israel, did that make you a Jew?
Circumcision.
There we go. Circumcision. Paul was a Jew. There are many different opinions on how Paul obtained his Jewish citizenship. Some think his father was a Jew. Therefore, when Paul was born, he was born to Jewish parents. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which made him a citizen of Israel. Some think that Paul's father may not have been a Jew, naturally born a Jew. He may have been a Jewish proselyte. He could have been a Greek who converted to Judaism. Paul was born a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day. Verse 22, chapter 22. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with bonds, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" And if we remember back in Acts chapter 16, after Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown into jail, they're in the process of being released, and Paul's like, "Wait a minute. You did these things to Roman citizens? We are Romans." So Paul had already let people know earlier that he was a Roman in Philippi. He made that statement, and here he is making it again in Jerusalem. "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" So Paul is also a citizen of Rome. And how did Paul become a citizen of Rome? Dr. Keener, in his commentary on Acts, gives five ways that a person can become a Roman citizen, apart from bribery. Citizenship was normally available to certain categories of individuals. Number one, a person born to a Roman family. Number two, a citizen of a city to which Roman citizenship was granted. And many believe that because Paul was born in Tarsus, and Tarsus had been made the capital of the province of Cilicia and was a Roman free city, because Paul was born in Tarsus, he was born. Number three, sometimes a member of a city's aristocratic governing class or an individual who benefited Rome or its agents. Number four, an honorably discharged auxiliary soldier. Number five, a slave freed by a citizen master with limited rights, such as slave children born after manumission were full citizens. So those are five ways other than bribing somebody to make you a Roman citizen. So, how was Paul a Roman citizen? How did he become a Roman citizen? We don't know for sure. But he was. He was. "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman? So here's Paul. Here's Paul. Born in Tarsus. He was a citizen of Tarsus. I was born in Selma. For a significant part of my life, I was a citizen. So now I'm a citizen of Homewood. I'm a citizen of the state of Alabama. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Now, being a citizen of Selma, being a citizen of Alabama, doesn't quite have... I'm really a citizen of the United States. That's my country. That's my country. But Paul was a citizen of Tarsus. he obtained his Roman citizenship. He was a citizen of the Roman Empire, not the city of Rome. That's coming here in the next couple of chapters. He was a citizen of the Roman Empire. Paul was also a citizen of Israel. So Paul either had dual citizenship or he had triple citizenship, depending on how you look at his obtaining his Roman citizenship. The citizenship of the Apostle Paul. Verse 26, chapter 22, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander. Now, if we look over in Acts chapter 23, he wrote a letter in the following manner. This commander did. His name was Claudius Lysias. Claudius Lysias was this commander's name. The centurion goes and he tells Claudius Lysias, take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman. Ooh. And as a Roman, Paul was entitled to all the rights and privileges of a Roman citizen. Then the commander, Claudius Lysias, came and said to him, Paul, tell me, are you a Roman? Paul said, yes, I am a citizen. The commander answered, with a large sum, I obtain this citizenship. So here's Claudius Lysias, the commander, tells Paul, I had to buy my citizenship. Now we know a couple of things about Claudius Lysias. His name Claudius, if you obtained your Roman citizenship during a particular emperor's rule, you took that emperor's name. So Claudius Lysias, this commander, became a Roman citizen 41 AD to 54-55 AD during the reign of the Emperor Claudius. And how did he get his Roman citizenship? He bought it. He had to come up with the funds. Was not cheap. Claudius was notorious for making money by selling people citizenship into his reign, his rule. With a large sum, I obtained the citizenship. And this next phrase has such an impact on all of us, even to Paul said, but I was born a citizen. I was born a citizen. I am a legal citizen of Rome. Now, Paul didn't tell him, you obtained your citizenship illegally. You had to pay him to become a citizen. Paul just says, here we have Paul, citizen of Tarsus, citizen of Israel, citizen of Rome. I would not think too many people could lay claim to what Paul is stating. I was born a Jew. I was born a citizen of Tarsus. He tells the Roman, or the commander, I am Roman. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And how important was it? How important was it to Paul that he was a citizen of are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, there goes his citizenship in Israel. You don't have to be circumcised to be a believer. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anybody can boast in the flesh, it's me. It's me. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I can be confident because I have multiple citizenships. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. You want to talk about being Jewish? Let me tell you about being Jewish. I'm Jewish. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, I try to wipe it out. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, all of this citizenship stuff, Paul is saying, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And that's where him being a Pharisee comes in. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Who did not? The Sadducees. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Paul knew that he would not. Paul knew that his multiple citizenships would gain him nothing in the kingdom. The kingdom that matters. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And this is Paul's most important citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. For our citizenship is in heaven. Paul's most important citizenship is this one. It's this one. When Paul died, and his body disintegrated, dust, citizen of Israel. Do you think that dust cares that Paul was a citizen of Rome? No. No. Because Paul's physical body is gone. It's gone. And Paul understood the most important citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had quadruple citizenship. And he knew which one mattered. So we have our physical citizenship. We were born. I just have one. I'm not dual nationality. I remember our dear friends Janet and Anderson Kashaw from Times of Need. When they first came over here in the mid-90s, Anderson and Janet and their daughter, Faye, they were all citizens of Times of Need. They came over here. They also had two more daughters. Those two daughters are American citizens. They were born American citizens. That's their physical citizenship. And anybody that is born within these borders is an American citizen. Doesn't matter who your parents are. It's where your mama was the instant you were born. And if she was within the borders of these United States, then you are an American citizen. But how is one made a spiritual citizen? How does one become, as Paul said, for our citizenship is in heaven? How do we become citizen of heaven? How do we obtain that citizenship? I obtained my American citizenship because I was born here. And I obtained my spiritual citizenship because I was also born. But it had nothing to do with this physical world. Let's look at John chapter 3. Oh, what a great mystery. Nicodemus was wrestling with. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, like Paul, who believed in the resurrection of the dead. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man had a position, and he had power, and he was also a citizen of Israel. This man came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he didn't want people to see him talking to Jesus. He sought him out under the cover of darkness. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." And oh, was he ever. "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." Jesus answered and said to him, and Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus here to look beyond the physical. Nicodemus is seeing the signs. And Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now what does that have to do with Nicodemus's statement here? Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus comes to Christ talking about signs and Jesus being a teacher come from God. And Jesus gets straight to the heart of the matter. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to be able to see? You have to be born. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Paul had fleshly citizenship. Tarsus, Israel, and Rome. He was born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be? How can it be for me to be born again?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You're asking me these questions and you're supposed to be an authority on the subject. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Here you go, Nicodemus. Citizenship in heaven. You're right here and right now. Many of us take this next verse lightly because we've known it our whole lives. And I think many reformers have taken this verse lightly because of its association with Arminianism. But this is the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God so loved his people that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Citizenship in heaven, second birth. You must be born again. You've got to believe. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. What a great parallel passage to John chapter 3. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that gift of God made possible because of his Son." God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him will become a citizen of heaven. And they will not perish, they will have everlasting life. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Boy, could Paul boast. Paul had the fleshly credentials there of which he could boast. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, you who were once non-citizens, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Our citizenship papers in heaven, our citizenship papers in heaven are written in red ink. And that red ink is the very blood of the Lamb of God. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. He came and preached peace to Nicodemus. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We have physical earth, and because of Christ, we have spiritual earth. And how is one made a citizen of heaven? How does one obtain that second citizenship? New birth. A new birth. Do not have that second citizenship. We have our first. We were born citizens of the United States. Those of us who do not have that second citizenship, we've got to believe. We've got to believe. And when the Spirit calls, we've got to listen. We've got to come to Christ. He told Nicodemus that whosoever believes in him, we've got to believe. I believe I'm a citizen of this country. I know I am. I have proof. It's buried somewhere in our house. My little birth certificate.